This is the West Coast Project podcast for Better Call Saul. My name is Mike.
I'm Jamie.
Hey, Jamie, how's it going?
I'm doing all right. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Jamie, we're lucky tonight to have a couple guest visitors on our podcast, Brian and Dave from the Better Call Saul podcast.
Honored.
I don't know if you're lucky, but I'm glad they have us on.
And the Nothing Important podcast, and maybe we can get into that a little bit later after we talk about the Better Call Saul season one. Sure. Guys, welcome to West Coast Project.
Thank you for having us on.
So, Jamie, these guys are pretty talented. I heard them sing an awesome version of All About That Bass.
Oh, God.
Meghan Trainor, you put her to shame, man.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah, with my angelic voice, right?
I just hope you weren't singing it to each other.
No, just together, not at each other.
Yeah. But, we were looking at, we made eye contact across the microphone a couple of times, but it was strictly platonic.
In all honesty, the best part about that song is at the end, Brian's trying not to laugh because he had no idea that I was going to do the parts that I did. So, and that's part of our whole thing, is I just tried to make him laugh in the middle of the recording just to see how badly we could ruin it, and it came out pretty well.
Are you doing the guitar and everything on it?
I played all the instruments on it, yeah.
Nice, nice. You got to listen to that. It's on the podcast, Nothing Important podcast. But these guys have teamed up with us to recap season one of Better Call Saul. And Better Call Saul was pretty much a technical hit. It averaged 5.9 million viewers per episode. A lot of them in the prime demo of 18 to 49-year-olds. Rotten Tomato gave it all the glory. It was like 8.1 out of 10, 93% audience approval. It was number one in the live plus three DVR rating. So it was really, really a cool show. What did you guys think of the season in total?
I thought it was actually way better than Dave and I probably even expected it to be, because our biggest fear when we decided to do a Better Call Saul podcast, our biggest fear were like, man, what if we like commit to this and the show sucks? Because we, Dave and I have actually been doing silly stuff like this with a band and stuff for like shit since like 1990.
Yeah, longer than most marriages.
Yeah, like a long ass time. And we always try to make each other laugh, but we, you know, we always try to do something that we can at least like laugh at and enjoy. And so when we were thinking about doing the Better Call Saul podcast, like after the first one, we kind of got lucky, and we kind of like, besides the Better Call Saul podcast or whoever the fuck they were, like they beat us by one day, and then we were, I guess, officially the second by like 12-hour Saul Goodman podcast on iTunes. And we had like a really good spike with people that were interested and subscribing and listening to our bullshit fest for the, you know, 3 weeks before the show even came out, and we were just like, oh man, what if this show sucks? We're stuck with this. Like,
we committed so much to a show, we're banking on it being successful.
Yeah, I heard you talking about that. Did they really ask you to like cease and desist with the name?
What's that?
Did they really? You made a joke. Maybe you were just making a joke about it, but you talked about it like they asked you to not use their name or something.
Yeah. Okay. So what happened was. The first episode of our podcast, the only reason why I said the Better Call Saul podcast, it was pretty much just to make Dave laugh, because it's such a pompous, stupid thing. And like, we don't take ourselves serious at all. So we're like, well, most likely, we have no idea how to podcast, so we probably really fucking
this is going to probably be the worst Better Call Saul
podcast. Right, yeah, it's going to be the shittiest. So it just became funny for us to be like, the Better Call Saul podcast. And this guy hit me up on Twitter, and he was asking us not to say that anymore, because that was their whole gimmick, is they were the Better.
Well, their name was the Better Call Saul podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And they had pause too. So, you know, like a professional courtesy thing, wanted us not to like infringe on their show name or something.
Yeah, they didn't want like any confusion or anything between them.
Yeah, but I can honestly say that was when I realized that I can't read Twitter, because he sent all these tweets and I had no idea what the guy was talking about.
I can't read Twitter either. That's probably why we only have like 15 fucking followers or whatever.
Well, that's pretty presumptuous, though, to say don't use that name because we had it first, and you're trying to say that you're better than us. I mean, right. Come on. It's all for fun, right?
We're all doing this for fun.
Right. That's last time I checked, nobody's cut me a check thus far. So, so we talked about it. And I'm like, well, my only response to that guy was, this is kind of a silly thing to do over Twitter. Like, email me and we'll talk it out. But, for the record, I had no intention of not saying the Better Call Saul podcast because, but I would have at least talked to the guy. So, but they never even released another episode.
No, yeah
that's funny.
So, I kind of hope that they listen, and if they ever want to come on our show, they're more than welcome to chat with us. But yeah, that was just kind of a goofy experience, especially since we've only been podcasting for like 3 months now or 4 months now or whatever it's been.
Right, right. Hey, I'm getting some frantic messages from Jamie. You still hooked in, Jamie?
I'm still here, but you guys are breaking up really bad.
You know what? I got to be honest. I wish we were recording the actual feed that we're hearing through the speakers because it sounds like auto-tune.
turn the camera off.
That's funny.
Oh, yeah. We'll turn off the camera.
Yeah, that might actually help.
Yeah, we'll see if that helps with the data.
Well, guys, we loved the show, but not that last episode. We had to redo our podcast. And after that, I kind of felt like we owed our audience even more because we hacked up a podcast and we redid it, a better one. But we decided to do a recap. And, it's really Jamie who's the real genius behind our podcast. So I know she's got tons of notes and topics to cover, right, Jamie?
Oh, my God, Mike.
I'm just winging it.
Seriously. Okay, so here's Mike. Mike comes with, like, pages of notes every single time we have a podcast. What I do well, but I do very differently than Mike does. I watch obsessively, and I try to catch every single detail. And I'm, like, I think I serve as our podcast historian for Better Call Saul and for the Americans. I remember everything that's happened. But, no, Mike is the guy with all the detail. He's got all the brain for that.
Yeah, it's kind of like us. Like, Brian's the one that takes the notes, and I'm just make jokes.
Right. color guy.
But the thing about that, we catch flack a bunch of times because I'll miss something really important because I'm taking notes.
Yeah.
And then people are like, oh, these guys aren't really fans of the show because they forgot, like, the color of Saul's fucking suit.
But no, it's
like,
we're just terrible multitaskers.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
See, Mike, that's where you and I have this beautiful thing, the symbiosis, because what you're good at, you're so good at, I'm horrible at. But what I'm good at, I can do great. And so we meld well.
Yeah, and Dave, we don't do anything great. So that's what...
Well, now that it's been a while, what's your guys' take on that final episode?
I'll let Dave go first. I know he has stronger opinions than I do.
Yeah, well, I mean, I thought it would ramp up more. It seemed like it almost seemed like it climaxed in the episode before, and then the next one was almost like the resolution until the very end when he's like, oh, by the way, screw everything, I'm going to be Saul now, And, like, it just kind of seemed to move at, like, a slower pace. I thought it'd be more exciting, I guess.
Right.
And the Marco thing, like, I get what they tried to do, and they tried to make us, like, feel for Marco, but I really didn't feel it, honestly.
Okay. All right, so here's my question for you guys. What do you think about, like, that turn at the end where Jimmy's just like, F it, I'm going to be Saul? I mean, did you feel like that was an earned F it? Or did you feel like it was kind of like, because I felt like it just got stuck in there. Like, okay, well.
Yeah. Right, yeah, like shoehorned in. Like as I was watching it, because Dave and I were watching it, and we were watching the clock, right, Dave? And we were like, oh, shit, there's only like 3 minutes left. Like, something big has got to happen.
Right, yeah.
Somebody's got to die or get blown up. And then he's just like, fuck this, I'm Saul.
Yeah. We're gonna have it again.
Yeah, like I could go legit, but fuck it. I got a pinky ring. I'm just gonna drive up out this courthouse and be fucking Saul. And that was like the main thing for me. It like by itself, it was a good episode, and I really enjoyed it. But coming from the week before, I was like, man, I thought something really really crazy was gonna happen. But then like in the last 5 minutes, when I saw Saul and Mike, it's not like either one of those two are going to fucking die.
Right.
Like, it's not like something crazy is going to happen. So I was almost banking on, I was actually almost excited that there would have never been that moment.
Right, yeah, they leave it to next season. But I just now had this thought. If the conversation with Chuck and Jimmy at the end of the previous episode had happened in this episode, I think it would have felt differently.
Yeah.
Because then you're continuing along that of Jimmy's progression of frustration and stuff. Or when you have a week off, it's like you kind of forgot that happened, I guess.
Right. You know.
Did you guys have any unanswered questions about the first season? Like not meaning like where Jimmy's going to go next, but anything about events that seemed left unexplained to you from the first season?
Yes. Where's the third Hamlet?
Yeah, that's. I think we might even do a show like in mid-season or between seasons, like called like the third Hamlet, because who the hell's the third H or you know the other H? Because they only talk about Howard Hamlin and Chuck McGill.
Yeah, and, what is up with that? That you, I heard you talk about it on your podcast. Like that might be just a legal angle to have an extra vote somewhere.
Yeah, something like that.
Something like we were just trying to grasp for straws because they didn't address it at all throughout the entire.
That I'm aware
season,
of.
It was yeah. just like, what, like Howard and Chuck and some Hamlin guy. So I was like, well, maybe it's like a fictitious person that, like, it'll come on later in the story that, it, you know, like back when, you know, nobody really knew a lot about the story because me and Dave actually, I think off air, started talking about that like halfway through the season.
Mm-hmm.
We're like, oh, well, where's this third guy going to come in? And then we started making theories amongst ourselves. We're like, well, obviously, Jimmy's going to get screwed over. So maybe there's this third partner jumps in somewhere towards the finale and puts the kibosh on everything. That was before everybody realized that Chuck was a dick.
Right.
Right? And then we're like, okay, well, as it got closer, it's like, okay, well, there's no third Hamlin. So maybe Hamlin McGill is still like a bullshit company. So maybe like the third Hamlin is kind of like a ghost CEO or something, like just a fictitious person they made up to like manipulate books or something. But it just never came to be. So I guess maybe the third Hamlin will be the villain of the next season or some shit.
Maybe. Or maybe Howard's father or somebody that we never really saw that started the firm or something.
Yeah, something like that. I was thinking. I just have a feeling it's going to be someone that maybe retired. You know, maybe something older that's really not practicing law anymore, but he still got his name on the law firm or something.
Why'd it be like no big ass thing. Like it'll just be like somebody will be like, "What about the third Hamlin?" And it'll be like, "Oh, that's my father. He died 12 years ago." And they're like, "That's it. Like that's all."
It's
like,
it's Joey Hamlin. It's the most Joey.
It's the Hamlin with the goat glue. It's the Hamlin to go blue.
Jamie, what about you? Do you have any last unanswered events that bothered you from this first season?
I think probably. The biggest thing for me is just, I feel like Jimmy's, whatever his journey was there was a huge hiccup in the middle of it. I feel like we missed like four episodes in between episode 9 and 10.
Yeah. Well, I got one in the beginning. At the end, it seems like Chuck was calling all the shots, right?
Right.
But he wasn't, or at least he didn't seem to be at the beginning. Remember Hamlin tried to buy him out? Like, what was the deal with that? He tried to give Jimmy that check for $26,000, and Jimmy turned it down. Like, Jimmy was in charge.
Right.
So what was that transition? How did that all shake out, that Chuck wasn't in charge at that point?
I was actually kind of thinking the more Chuck started to deal with his electromagnetic allergy, the more he started taking control and being assertive about things, and there was kind of a parallel with that. And then he started kind of overshadowing Jimmy and being more, you know, taking charge of their project and all that stuff.
Maybe.
My unanswered question is the theory that Stacy was maybe trying to set Mike up for something.
Yeah, like, you guys had a good take on that, like she had a wire on her or something.
Yeah, that was actually one of our listeners suggested that for like two or three episodes in a row. He emailed us and he was like, oh, dude, she's wearing a wire. She's wearing a wire, which would be an awesome
twist.
Yeah.
Well, not twist, yeah.
It'd be an awesome plot point, you know, like, and then it'd be kind of fun to see how Mike weasels his way out of that, you know, and then then we kind of theorize, well, maybe that's how Saul becomes Saul, because throughout the whole thing, everybody was like, oh, man, when does Jimmy become Saul? Because everybody was waiting for, like, the big moment, and then you saw what happened in the finale, like, it was just
it kind
like,
of felt like a little moment.
We got a hint of it, right.
Yeah, fuck it.
You know, I actually do. I did think about something. kind of after like everything went down. I thought about it like yesterday and day before yesterday. And I wonder about this, if, you know, if the brain trust over there, at AMC, if these geniuses were thinking this and we just didn't catch it, that, you know, really essentially with this decision that Jimmy made at the very, literally like the last minute, you know, it kind of proves Chuck right.
Yeah, absolutely. And that was my theory, was that Jimmy would get to a point where he was like, well, Chuck thinks I'm a piece of shit. Well, fine. I'm going to be the biggest piece of shit there is and be successful at it.
You know. Yeah, maybe. I don't know. But again, you know, it's like what you said. If they'd had the confrontation between Chuck and Jimmy in this episode, in episode 10, it would have made more sense.
Mm-hmm. Right. You know? That's, you know, they peaked.
Yeah. But I guess
a little early, I guess.
There was a climactic moment, so I can see how you'd want to end an episode with that. So maybe that was just like a tough decision, yeah, where to place that or something.
Do you guys listen to the official Insider podcast?
Yes.
Yeah, we do.
Right. Did you hear how it was mentioned that for a while there, they didn't even think Chuck was going to end up being a bad guy, and then that switched like halfway through the season as they were still writing episodes to finish up the season?
Right. Well, yeah, they thought Howard would be the bad guy until they figured out that Chuck was turning into a character who could be pretty evil, and they kind of swapped it, right?
Right, exactly. So I was thinking maybe that accounts for a lot of the awkwardness mm-hmm. of how it all panned out. So maybe it was, you know, like 10,000-foot view. They're like, okay, well, this will kind of be like wedged in there, but it'll be better for the rest of the series if the main conflict between the characters was the fact that Chuck's kind of a dick, and then the twist is that Hamlin was actually a good guy and all that. You know, he was basically following orders.
Right.
Yeah, Jamie, that's your Gardner theory. And actually, they interviewed Alan Sepinwall interviewed Peter Gould, and he talked about that. How he kind of asked him like, what's going to happen in season two, and Gould just said, well, I don't know. You know, we got people teed up to do certain things, but we're going to have to see where they go. Like, he's almost waiting to see how the actors tell him what to do next.
Yeah, that's what I got listening to the Insider podcast, too, is that the people that do the characters have a lot of pull on how the characters actually react within the story. My main thing, though, is, I guess if I could answer the question they asked a few moments ago, another thing I'd like to question is the true nature of Kim and Jimmy's relationship.
Oh yeah, I just asked you that before we went on. Is I want to know how old Kim's character is supposed to be, if she's truly one of Jimmy's peers, or maybe a little younger or something.
I would call her a peer pretty close to his age, or she seems to be.
It seemed like it.
Well, remember we watched like the first episode, and Jimmy just goes and stands next to this random chick and takes the cigarette out of her mouth, and I think we even talked about it on the show. And I'm like, she must mean something, because who the fuck would get away with just pulling a cigarette out of some chick's mouth? Right. And but throughout the course of the show, like, it was implied that they had like, at least sex probably once,
robot sex voice,
done that at least more than once. But then as it progressed, it was like she was like more of like a sister figure or like a really good friend.
Right.
But they never really address the true nature of their relationship, except for the fact that there is some sort of affection between the two of them.
Do you think we've seen the last of Kim, or is it onward to Francesca?
I don't even know what Francesca is.
She's the girl in Saul's office, the secretary.
Oh, we talked about that, too. Yeah, the booty is grabbing them nuts, girl. But yeah, no, I think she'll definitely stick around. I mean, but then it's interesting to where she goes, because when we watched the previews before the last episode, and it showed the next episode of Better Call Saul, right? And it like showed her closing the door, and that's when we thought Hamlin was still the dick or whatever. I was like, oh well, he's going to offer her a partnership,
right?
But then it turns out what that whole scene was is Hamlin was actually telling her how Chuck was calling the shots.
Yeah,
right.
But obviously, she's not in Breaking Bad, and there's no mention of a Kim or anything in Breaking Bad. So, like,
I think she'll be around.
Yeah, I think she'll be around. I guess, yeah, exactly. I guess what I'm getting at is, like, I think she'll be around, and there'll be some crazy fallout between the two of them, or maybe if he's becoming Saul Goodman, and they're friends, and she wants him to do right, and then she sees all the crazy shit he's doing.
They'll just separate, go their separate ways.
Yeah, you know, she won't be able to take it, or maybe even worse yet, what if she gets wrapped up in something and he inadvertently dicks her over? Like, what if he ruins her career?
Which, that's kind of been, we talked about that. He kind of ruins things inadvertently along the path.
Yeah, he's like a bad luck magnet, almost.
He turns everything he touches to shit.
Saul also has zero friends in Breaking Bad. Like, can you guys remember any friends that Saul had in Breaking Bad?
His clients. Like, he seems to be super friendly with his clients, like he has no one else to talk to.
That's all fake, though. Like, Jimmy seems like he'd have a bunch of friends, right? Marco, he'd find another friend like Marco, you'd think, but Saul has no friends that I can even remember.
But yeah, that's a good... Go ahead, Jamie, go ahead.
I think that's probably true, though. I think that that his friends really are his clients. And you know, you got to remember, like, the setup for Breaking Bad was not at all about Saul's personal life, even though I spent every time I ever saw him on that show, I wanted to go back home with him and kind of, you know, see what his life was like, because he was so interesting. Right. You know, just kind of, you know, have a little view into what the heck was going on that made him who he was. But yeah, I think, you know, partly, you know, he didn't have any friends because he was just there as, you know, Saul Goodman. And then also I think partly because really, you know, if you're that guy, the only friends you have are your partners in crime. So, you know, Francesca and, you know, right. Kuhl and Kubi.
Those are probably his friends. Huel's Flood's your Brian's guy.
Dude, I still maintain if Marco would have been Huel, that would have been so much cooler.
Well, then Huel would die and we wouldn't have him in Breaking Bad. You can't do that.
Huel never dies, man.
Huel doesn't die.
But to go back to the Jimmy and his friends thing, also, the fact that he went to, like, night school and he got the degree on top of a full-time job, and he just seemed so hyper-focused on accelerating his career, you know, not having time to establish personal relationships. So then your clients do become your friends and who you relate to, because you're living your job. You know,
so that's a great point. That's a great point. So maybe since Marco, like, Kim was his only real friend except for clients and people professionally that he crossed paths with. Mm. It's going to take me a lot to make me unlike Jimmy, but there's got to be a path to that, because I never liked Saul the way I like Jimmy. You know, oh, really? Something negative is going to happen to make us dislike this guy.
I like Saul.
I like Saul.
I like him as a character. Like, he's not a person I would like personally, but as a character, I really liked it.
I like him so much I half-ass a podcast about his show every week.
Well, Saul was a bad guy, though. I mean, Saul suggested killing Hank and Jesse and Badger, right? He helped poison Brock.
Right.
Yeah, you know what? That's actually a good point I hadn't considered. My wife, who's actually sitting right here, Kristen, her and I actually begun watching Breaking Bad again. And when we're doing it's Saul Goodman, we cut some shit sometimes, because we always try to speak within we touch on what happens in Breaking Bad, but we always try to stick within the actual show of Better Call Saul.
Mm-hmm.
And I totally forgot the point I was going with that, so just delete that.
Well, I really like your point about unliking Jimmy, because going back to...
So that was my point. Okay, so, rewatching Breaking Bad... Like, we just watched the episode where Saul was introduced, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that character seemed so much more of an asshole than anything that Jimmy has done in Better Call Saul. So when you said you didn't really like him, like, yeah, I could totally see that, because in the context of just Breaking Bad, like, okay, he's kind of a comedic asshole. But then when you go back and watch Better Call Saul, you're like, wow, like, that character is, like, really unlikable. Because I had forgot that.
And how smarmy and much of a dick
that is. Right, yeah, because he mentioned, like, three times, right, Chris, in the last episode? Like, he mentioned, like, three times how they should pay somebody off to shank Badger. But that doesn't seem at all anything that, like, Jimmy would do in Better Call Saul. That seems, like, unfathomable for the character that they created in the prequel thus far.
I was going to say, yeah, it after watching Jimmy, yeah, now you're right, it makes you realize... how much progression they have to make to get him to Saul.
Yeah, I wonder who's the real one inside there. Is it really Saul or really Jimmy? Who's the underlying personality?
Right.
It'll probably just be like anything else. Like, you know, you live a certain lifestyle, you know, for a while, and you start believing in your own hype, you know? So, like, if you're...
Like the Kevin Costner thing, which we forgot to mention on the podcast. They threw that in there to show the story from before.
Right, yeah. I mean, if you
believe the lie, and you believe your own lie.
Yeah, exactly. You live like an asshole long enough, you become an asshole. So, you know, maybe that'll be part of the character transition is, like, he was kind of, like, goofy sunroof, shitting Rolex scamming Jimmy, slipping Jimmy, you know, and he decides to be like, you know, just skirting the law, Saul. Go ahead, use that. Skirting the law, Saul. You like that, Dave? See, it rhymes.
Yeah, I got you.
Okay, cool. Okay.
Well, we didn't forget Kevin Costner, right, Jamie? It took us 2 tries to get it, but we got him.
Yeah. That was actually one of my favorite Saul stories on Breaking Bad. So when they showed it in this episode, I just died. I loved it so much.
Are you guys all ready to see Saul in season 2 early in the season, or do you think we need more Jimmy?
I think
it'll be in between.
Yeah, we're tending to think that the whole thing is going to be a slow burn and a gradual progression up to it. Like, especially the way that ended, where he didn't say his name was Saul Goodman. He just said, like, okay, screw it. I'm going to start living life a little differently now.
Right. Like,
so it's going to keep being a slow progression, and who knows? I think we're at the point where it's like, who knows when he's going to, like, change his name and start the business under Saul. But it could also open up season 2 and open up on a shot of the new office with Saul Goodman as the head, you know?
Yeah, well, you know, I was thinking, like, he'll still be Jimmy, but, like, a little bit more edgier Jimmy. Like, a little bit more, like, you know, like kind of skirting the law, a little bit more slimier Jimmy, and then like something big will happen, and then he's going to be forced to change his name.
Yeah, like he's going to break bad a little at a time.
Yeah.
Season 2 is 13 episodes. We'll have more time for that all to happen.
I just had a thought, too. And I think I just realized one thing that might have ruined the whole vibe of that last episode is the fact that he immediately like left Chicago because of his old people, his elder law clients. So it's almost like they brought you back into Jimmy just to shove you back out, you know, when he turns around and walks away from that case.
Yeah, I called it a slap in the face when we did our podcast. That's what, and I was so, I don't know if you guys heard that podcast, but you should listen to it. And I was so mad that I was almost crying at one point. I mean, just angry, furious, because it made no sense to me. And it did. It felt like a slap in the face. It was too much of a change. You know, we go, and you're right, we were in Chicago with Jimmy, who's like, nah, I want to be on the straight and narrow. I don't want to pull this last, you know, scam on people, and he buries Marco and comes back home, and he's ready to go and walk into his future, and then just boom, just turn around. It just, ugh.
Because he rubs the ring.
Yeah.
He rubs the ring and remembers Marco and says, okay, this is the life I want to live on.
I know what stopped me before. He'll never let it stop me again. I was just,
I wonder if they were like, I wonder if like the writers were like, okay, like seriously, we have to reconcile this within this last episode.
It's very possible.
You know, so like what's the shortcut there? But the beauty of it is the way that they write the show and stuff, like that could totally be like a MacGuffin. You know, where it's like, it seems kind of shoehorned, but then they'll probably write something really clever and deep in the next season to where like, oh, yeah, oh, that's why that happened. That makes sense. That's totally acceptable.
Yeah. Well, you're just hoping.
What do you guys have as maybe lingering questions from Breaking Bad that you were hoping might get answered in Better Call Saul?
Well, what happened to Huel?
Yeah,
I know Brian is obsessed. What happened to Huel?
Yeah.
Huel is still in the safe house. He's just like,
yeah, he's still hanging out in the safe house, man. That's actually the biggest thing I'm looking for is if he's gonna be Saul, like how, like, because like we still really haven't seen how he gets to anywhere near Breaking Bad. I mean, pretty much what we have is like a motivation to change his name or start developing the character. But that also doesn't explain like I'd like to see like the building, like how he decides to like build the office Like, especially because it has, like, the Constitution in the background with the silly-ass pillars.
Lady Liberty blow up on
top of playing America.
Yeah, it's all Shameless.
You know, and I actually think, like, the setting of his office could actually be a character within itself.
Yeah.
Like, because how does he go from... Because remember, okay, so... Because his office was in the closet of a nail salon, mm-hmm. right? And then at one point, he was building out a really kick-ass office,
mm-hmm.
you know, for elder law. And then, as you know it, in Breaking Bad, he's, like, in a strip mall with an inflatable Statue of Liberty on the roof.
You got 30 in Joliet.
You say that like it's a bad thing.
So, like, I would, you know what? I'd actually like to see, like the whole next season, like, as he builds towards Saul, because I don't think he's there yet. I think he's just more of an edgier Jimmy.
Yeah.
I'd actually like to see, like, some sort of parallel between that and, like, building this, like, shady-ass office.
Or a parallel between Walt becoming Heisenberg, you know?
Yeah.
That was kind of, that took a few seasons to really, like, swing in, and where he's got his arm set up.
I think what happens a lot of times is because we all know how it ends up in Better Call Saul, and then you go back to the prequel, you know, everybody's like, oh, man, well, what accounts for this? What accounts for this? What accounts for this? And we're not writing the episodes, so, you know, like, we always tend to, like, have, like, the shortcuts. But I think, like, this first season established, like, no, it's not going to happen right away, like, right? Because when we were doing, like, the 3 weeks preview for our podcast, right, those first 3 weeks, we brought it up numerous times. Like, okay, like, in the first episode, something's crazy going to happen. He's going to decide he's Saul. And then it never happened. And then, like, 10 episodes later, we're still like, oh, well, he's still not really.
Right.
I don't think he is even now after 10. I think he's Jimmy wanting to be a Saul-type guy, but he hasn't figured it out yet.
Like, he
exactly. He made the decision to do it, I think. The next season is going to be the start of the progression, but I think it's going to be a slow burn that might peak at the end of the series, is what I'm thinking it might happen.
How about you, right, Jamie? Any final Breaking Bad theories you want resolved by Better Call Saul?
What was that? I'm sorry.
Well, I mean, I don't know.
We talked about, like, Gus and Chile and what happened at Grey Matter. I mean, those are some pretty good questions that.
Well, I don't think that we'll get to know any of that stuff. Like, you know, like, I would love to know about the beginning of Grey Matter and, you know, I'd love to see, you know, what happened, what the heck ever happened with Walt and Gretchen. But I think that's a mystery that we're always going to have. I think, you know, that I don't think anybody will ever answer that.
Oh, come on.
You know what I'd like to see, too? You know, like, in Breaking Bad, there's a scene where they, like, kind of kidnap Saul, and he's on his knees in the desert looking at his grave. And he's like, Ignacio, if that's you, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Right? But Ignacio is Nacho.
Yeah.
Right?
And the thing about Lalo, and I think we'll get to know who Ignacio and Lalo are for sure.
No, that's a good point. I mean, we know who Ignacio is, Nacho, right? But who's Lalo?
Yeah,
I'm thinking it has to do with that drug that trade that Mike ran the protection for. I'm thinking that was pseudo. They're always talking about pseudo to make meth, sold it to Nacho. So this is all that's all going to come into play where there's going to be more drug trading going on in the second season. I think also I think Nacho will have a bigger role, and that the basically Saul getting into the meth game because I'm pretty sure if I remember right, Saul was pretty into the meth game. When he came across Walter White.
Well, I don't know if he was in the meth game so much as he was like...
We're dealing with people in the meth
game. Like laundering and stuff like that. You know, he had the know-how how to launder and how to facilitate, you know, like the exchange of money and such.
Yeah, the robot zombies for the PayPal and the guy who knows a guy who knows a guy.
They call me that guy. I forgot about that guy.
The web guy or like...
Yeah, the web guy.
The Russian robot zombies.
Like all the little associates that they talk about in Breaking Bad that like he somehow knows, like who's that, Johnny In-N-Out or Jimmy In-N-Out?
Yeah,
the guy that goes to jail.
Yeah, that's another guy. But he knew some Russian or Eastern European guy who could launder money through people's robot computers.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. So maybe next season will be a building year. It'll be a building year a year after that. That says year.
Well, this has been pretty fun, guys. What other shows do you guys like?
Oh man, I got to be honest with you. Like,
I tend to cycle through The Office, Parks and Recreation, and It's Always Sunny on Netflix.
Just those three over and over?
Over and over again.
Well, as for me personally, shows I watch are like cartoons primarily. So like Archer, love Archer.
Do you guys do a podcast on Sunny?
Do I or would I?
Do you or would you?
No and yes.
I would do a podcast on Sunny. I definitely would.
Man, see, everybody tells me how awesome that show is, but I've never sat down and watched it. I got to be honest. You know what? The funny thing, especially with us doing a Better Call Saul podcast, is like I am the like most pop culturally ignorant person you've ever met in your life. Like my wife owns a salon and gets a lot of like the like gossip rags, like Us and like Inquirer and Star magazine. And every time I look through them, I literally have no idea who half of them people fucking are. And like the other half, I've only heard their names. Like if you were to pick out like any random actor that's hot right now and tell me to name them, I wouldn't have any idea. Which makes this whole thing even worse.
Yeah, well, you know what? I'm with you on that because I don't watch television. Like, so I don't know anything except the shows that I watch, which is like a handful of shows. Literally don't know anything else about TV or who's out there or what, exactly like you. No idea who the new stars are, nothing.
Well, the funny thing about this is Dave and I are, the term sounds stupid, but like cord cutters, and we have been for years, you know, like. I don't have cable. I have internet and like an antenna hooked up to my computer so I can get local stations here in Chicago. And like just recently I brought, you know, Sling Television for $20 a month. So it's kind of funny that Dave and I are cord cutters and we both watch Breaking Bad on Netflix. Netflix. We've been watching it. Like we would always hear people talk about it. And then me and my wife binge-watched it over the course of, like, 2 weeks, staying up to like, 5 in the morning.
As did I.
Yeah, you know, we just heard that there was going to be a Better Call Saul show, and the only reason me and Dave started doing the podcast for that is because that actually evolved out of an idea of us doing a Chicago Bears podcast.
That would have been more tragic.
Yeah, I came to Breaking Bad late too, not as late as that, but I came like 3 years in and lost my mind and just like watched it like a maniac, and you know, and then bit my nails waiting for the last 2 years of episodes. It was crazy.
My wife, we're rewatching Breaking Bad right now, and she has a theory that Walter Jr. is actually the child of the dude that Skyler cheats on Walt with. Right? Yeah.
Ted Beneke?
good old Ted is Walt Jr.'s father.
Did you guys ever see the little minisodes that they had online? Like the one for Hank's wedding?
No.
I did.
You did, Jamie?
Yeah.
They're awesome. Where Walt is the best man at Hank's wedding, and Hank finds out that he accidentally had sex with a guy at the bachelor party.
Yeah, we really need to watch those.
We will get on that for sure.
Check them out. I think they're called Minisodes. Minisodes.
That's awesome.
Yeah, they are.
There's three or four of them.
Yeah, and actually, Jenny Hutcheson, who does some of the executive producing, I think on Better Call Saul, was not even a writer yet. She was a writer's assistant, which is like somebody who sits in the writer's room and like takes notes, like a dictation person, on everything that happens in the writer's room. And she was the person, like at that time when they were doing those minisodes, she was the person who wrote those, because that's how she got like to show Vince Gilligan her skills, was by writing those minisodes. And she did those, and that's kind of like what kind of catapulted her into getting a writing position. And she's the girl who wrote the I Am the Danger speech, Jenny Hutcheson. And now she's like a producer or something on Saul.
Oh
man, that's so good. I didn't even know those existed, but we're totally gonna have to.
Yeah,
gonna have to check those out.
Yeah, you'll love them. All right, guys. Well, we'll listen in for the Nothing Important podcast. The few I've listened to, I really like. So they're really funny. You guys are funny. You had a great podcast for Saul. And thanks a lot for joining us, Brian and Dave, from Nothing Important podcast.
You are quite welcome.
Hey, yeah, and Dave.
And if that is an offer for an Always Sunny podcast, we should talk later.
Yeah.
All right.
Bye, guys.
Thanks, guys.
Because you know I'm all about that bass, no treble. I'm all about that bass, no treble. I'm all about that bass, no treble. I'm all about that bass.
Bass, 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 Bruce.
Yeah, it's pretty clear, I ain't no size 2, but I can shake it like I'm supposed to do. Cause I got that boom boom that all the boys chase. All the right junk in all the right places. I see that magazine, uh-huh, working that Photoshop. We know that shit ain't real, uh-huh. Come on now, make a stop. If you got beauty, beauty, uh-huh, just raise them up. Cause every interview is perfect from the bottom to the top.
Now my mama, she told me don't worry about your size. Said boys like a little more booty to hold at night. No, I won't be no stick figure silicone Barbie doll. So if that's what you're into, then go ahead and move along.
Because you know I'm all about that bass, no treble. I'm all about that bass, no treble. I'm all about that bass, no treble. I'm all about that bass.
I'm bringing booty back. I'm here to tell you skinny bitches that.
Nah, I'm just playing if you think you're fat. I'm here to tell you every interview is perfect from the bottom to the top.
Now yeah, my mama, she told me don't worry about your size. She says boys like a little more booty to hold at night. You know I won't be no stick figure silicone Barbie doll. So if that's what you're into, then go ahead and move along.
Because you know I'm all about that bass, no treble. I'm all about that bass, no treble. I'm all about that bass, no treble. I'm all about that bass. Because I'm all about that bass, no treble. I'm all about that bass, some treble. I'm all about that bass, about that bass.
At least a handful of treble.
I'm all about that bass, about that bass.
Needs more cowbell.